Good evening, everybody, and welcome to A Very Posh Evening. I'm joined by a very special guest, Mr. Jarrett Perez.
Hello, hello, the one and only.
Let me make sure your mic's on. Can you say hello, hello, the one and only one more time?
Hello, hello, the one and only.
There we go. My bad. So Jarrett and I, we are... Well, I think first and foremost, we're friends.
Very I would like to friends. Say, I'd
can
like
I take that leap?
Yeah, I'd like to say so.
But the way we met is we actually were coworkers at a sports memorabilia shop in the Mission Viejo Mall called Sports Treasures.
That's correct. And
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. When you answer the phone, what do you say?
Sports Treasures, Mission Viejo.
Okay, you did way better than I used to do. Every time I would answer the phone, it would always be Sports Treasure, Mission Viejo. Like, treasures and mission. The transition from those two words was always...
Treasures is an ugly word. It shouldn't be in the name.
It's a tough one. So I kind of wanted to bring you on because, I think you are equally as much of a basketball nerd as I am.
Well, thank you. I'm honored.
Like
it's an honor.
You knew about the Kevin Love extension and the Dwayne Wade China potential signing, which not many people. When I asked you, I was like, "There's a 20% chance he knows," and then you were like,
"Heard about it?" No.
Well, not in terms of like during the season stuff, but it's like in the dredges of the late July.
Right.
You have to really be updating Twitter to get the Dwayne
funny.
Wade.
I'm
signings.
Actually a bigger fan when it comes to the off season.
Well, a lot of people say the offseason is almost more fun than the actual
regular. There's so much anticipation.
There's so much intrigue.
Yeah.
This GM's doing this. This guy's being...
Exactly. So you're just itching for the season to start for months.
And it's like the biggest celebrities. It's no longer LeBron James.
Right.
And it's Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski, Shams Charania.
And I'm a Clipper fan, so... A lot of the time, my team's out by the playoffs, so,
so you're just looking for...
You know, all the sparks are gone by then. I'm just ready for next season again.
Well, I apologize for your offseason. I think the most exciting offseason move, Marcin Gortat for Austin Rivers.
If you call that exciting.
Re-signing Avery Bradley.
We're going to get by.
But one thing from our time at Sports Treasures together, one thing I enjoyed a lot was you really get, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, you really get a pulse of a town.
Absolutely.
By working at a sports, I don't know if it's fair to call it sports memorabilia. It's sports memorabilia. It's
I wouldn't
not like,
call it memorabilia because we don't have any signatures.
But, yeah, it's not like signed stuff, but it's like shirts,
jerseys,
hats.
Everything team related.
Wallets, cards, pencils, toothbrushes, everything.
Right.
Apparel? Sports apparel? No, it's not even...
Memorabilia
slash apparel.
Like a Big Five conversation.
Yeah.
And we're not
but
Big Five.
I think the listeners somewhat get what we're getting at.
Yeah. We don't sell shin pads. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I actually got that question a lot when I worked
the
there.
Time.
Like, hey, do you guys sell baseballs? And it's like, no. Can you please get out of the store?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Twitter right now. I'm looking for some
for
some trades. But one thing that's cool about Orange County is we're technically, and I say we, this is an LA-based show, but
true.
You and I were both Orange Countyans.
Exactly.
Are you Orange County for life, like your whole life?
Inland Empire, then to Orange County.
Orange
so
County, so for the
Southern
most,
California.
In the region.
Exactly,
yeah.
I'm in the region.
But one cool thing about Orange County is we're widely regarded as, and I would say even though our population is high, I would still call us a suburb. County.
Absolutely.
Like we're a subsect of Los Angeles, but now we're our own entity.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I would say we're still a suburb.
Right.
And not many suburbs have sports teams. And we're lucky enough to have two in terms of the Angels and the Ducks. But so we're between there. Orange County is right between LA and San Diego, both cities that have sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego used to have more, not so
unfortunately.
Much. But I was really curious when I first started working there to kind of see what teams people supported in terms of Orange County. And since you've been working there longer than I have, I think you have a better grasp of it. So I thought I'd ask you some different sports leagues. You tell me what teams you think are the most bought. So in terms of, and again, this is in Mission Viejo Mall.
Right, South
Orange County.
Right.
What would you say the top NBA team is? I think I have the answer
for
this one.
It's still very much the Lakers. They're so strong, Southern California.
So tell me, like, how often in terms of both when LeBron James was signed, how many questions did you get the next day in terms of, like, because I remember, and we were talking about this, when Ohtani signed with the Angels, right. We got like 8 questions the next day. Like, hey, do you guys have Ohtani memorabilia? It's like, dog, I don't have a 3D printer right here, like making Ohtani bobbleheads.
Give me some time here.
But how crazy was the next day after LeBron signed?
Oh, just nonstop. Yeah. Every single customer was looking for a LeBron James jersey. It's like, I don't even know if the NBA.com has
exactly. Like, the only people who have it are people who make custom jerseys, like where you can put your own last name on it.
Yeah, like the bootleg guy down the street. You know,
exactly.
On the side of the road.
There's a guy under the bridge who prints
some LeBron James jerseys.
So, okay, what would you say is the second? Because like you said, you're a Clippers NBA fan. Would you say Clippers are second, or is it more Warriors since they're the...
Can I say LeBron? Because LeBron fans are virtually their own...
Interesting.
Entity.
So would people come in for Cleveland stuff or only LeBron?
LeBron. Like they don't care about Kevin Love. They don't care, emotionally care about Kevin Love.
Hopefully they care if he's alive.
Hopefully he exists and whatnot. But.
But interesting. So you would say the second after the Lakers, it's LeBron.
It's LeBron.
Wow.
Number
that's,
two.
That's really interesting.
Guaranteed.
Poor Clippers, man. Can't catch
Poor
him.
Poor Clippers.
Break. All right.
We still live in the shadows.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time when Lob City was taken over.
Lob City had 1 year above the Lakers, and that was fun.
There was a time when the Clippers and the Warriors had, like, a legit rivalry.
They were the rivalry, and then Clippers got squashed.
And then, and then Warriors got KD, and
it was over.
As they say, the rest was history. So what about baseball? Would you say, so this one I find interesting because the Angels are obviously an Orange County team, but the Dodgers are like kind of the heritage team. It's kind of like a flip where the Dodgers are like the Lakers and the Angels are like the Clippers where
Correct.
It's the more shadow. But being that Sports Treasures is in Orange County, I'm not even going to say Sports Treasures and Mission Viejo in the same sentence because for some reason it locks something in my brain.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the top baseball team people come in to buy?
I mean... It is so based on what's going on that day.
Interesting.
So if there's an Angel game against, the Royals, we're going to get a ton of Angel fans coming in. But if you get the Angels playing the Red Sox, it's going to be like 90% Red Sox.
Interesting.
So, we're kind of a melting pot in Southern California of, so many people moved to Southern California.
Best place in the world,
exactly.
in
so
my opinion.
So many people from the Midwest, the East Coast, and they bring their fandom here. So you'll find a lot of away teams, especially for baseball, because there's 162 games, 81
And it's like, let's say you and I were to go to a baseball game, and we don't have any, shirts or anything. Like, hey, let's just stop in Mission Viejo, then head up to Anaheim right after.
It's all convenient.
But what about the Dodgers in the last 2 years in terms of, once Magic became an owner and once it really started becoming a championship-contending team, has the amount of Dodger fans increased or would you say it stayed the same for the most part?
I would say it has increased based on the fact that L.A. fans love winners. If you're winning, they're rooting for you.
It seems like the Lakers are the only team in Los Angeles that can get away with not winning. Because it was even during the Jim Buss era when we were signing Luol Deng to $500 million.
Xavier Henry.
Xavier Henry. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Right? I know.
But it's like even when we had a starting lineup of Smush Parker, Luke Walton, Chris Mim, Lamar Odom, and Kobe Bryant, they were still selling out seats. They were
still selling out seats, always. Yeah.
That's why I always like Jeannie Buss on the Lakers. I know this is kind of a tangent, but
that's all right.
She was in charge of the business and Jim Buss was in charge of the player personnel.
True.
Jim Buss was. I'm going to try not to be too mean to him. He's just been ran through and through. But
right.
He objectively awful decision maker.
Yeah.
But his sister kept the fans coming in. They made money. They
Absolutely.
Were like, I know everyone got mad. There was this article that came out that said how much each team was making.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people got mad because a lot of owners were like, oh, my God, we're losing so much money. We should have, people pay more. It was a lot of BS that owners were trying to get more money out of the situation. But objectively, the Lakers were the top of every list. So even if the numbers were skewed, every time the Lakers were still number one and most profitable team.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty crazy. So getting back into sports, this one is one I found interesting because when I first started working at Sports Treasures, the Rams were moving, and it wasn't sure if the Chargers were moving. I think that was the situation.
Okay,
that
was
into.
A point in time.
So, what would you say is the number one seller for football? And would it be one of the LA teams, or is it still like a Pittsburgh Steelers? I remember Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's still out of state. Still at, well, if you want to count the Raiders and the 49ers, those would one sell very consistently.
Do you have a number one, like a guess
Numero
for what would be?
Is actually, probably the Packers, probably the Steelers. Like,
it's crazy how many Orange County people, and like, this is just off personal experience, so I don't know if there's like numbers to back me up on this, but I know so many Packers fans.
They're the most fascinating one to me.
It's crazy, like,
because I ask so many Packers fans when they're buying Packers stuff. Yeah. It's like, are you from Wisconsin? Have you ever been to Green Bay? And there's so many. They're just like, nah, I just like Brett Favre.
Interesting.
And Favre really did it for a lot of people.
Favre is the main catalyst for all this?
The common denominator.
It's pretty crazy.
It is.
Like, I get that we didn't have a football team for a really long time. I think the Rams and Raiders left, what, late 80s, early 90s?
93.
Yeah. And so you have, like, a whole generation of people who didn't have fans. You have a lot of older people. Yeah, exactly. Who's your team,
by the way? I was born in 1993. I am a Raiders fan to this day.
Seem a little apprehensive. I am a Raiders
fan. I'm a California fan, so once you're leaving California. Once
they leave. Is it next season they leave for Vegas?
2020.
2020.
Yeah, that's when they move into the main one.
Great Justin Timberlake CD, if anyone ever wants to buy it.
I had no idea.
I know it has the Mirrors song. That's, to be honest, that's the only song I know.
Oh, but I mean, that's all you need.
It is a solid one. Okay, and then final. So, but for NFL, I think of the LA teams, it's pretty obviously Rams, or
it's very much
do you
Rams.
Get any Chargers people coming in?
No, I don't. There's so many bitter Charger fans that, you know, there were Chargers, San Diego Charger fans.
Yeah, the like 10 Charger fans that existed are now bitter that they moved to LA.
They're such angry people now.
I feel so bad because it's like they're like the StubHub Stadium, it's 19,000, so it'll be sold out all the time. Right. And then Charger fans are like, hold my beer, we're not coming there.
I know,
but I mean, for the away games, it's pretty cool if you like another team, like you're saying in Southern California, a lot of us were mercenaries in terms of picking out of state or out of area teams. So it was pretty cool that the StubHub Center, which is such a small stadium, like you could at least go and see the other team. So I don't think people were necessarily coming to see the Dodgers, but yeah, like, hey, the Packers are coming into town.
Right.
Let's watch them in a 19,000. Is it 19,000? It's something really small.
It's really, really. But, I don't have the number on my head. But
It's pretty crazy because I actually went there for, what did I go there for? I think it was like a career fair or something. But earlier, like, I think it was like 2 weeks before that, I went to the LAFC stadium. And it is crazy because I've always thought of myself as a Galaxy fan, but like comparing the LAFC stadium to the StubHub Center where both the Chargers and the Galaxy play. I was not a fan of the StubHub Center. I got to be honest. Okay. It was like pretty small, a little older. LAFC Stadium, I guess it's also I like shiny
together,
things.
Right?
Yeah, it's like brand new opening. Right. And I went with someone with season tickets who had dope seats, like amazing seats. So the whole experience was good.
Definitely.
Maybe if I had that similar experience with StubHub, but I wasn't that impressed with StubHub Center.
Huh.
And then Final League, because I don't think you get many MLS fans coming into Sports Treasures.
Pretty much none.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine.
I actually direct them to another store because we don't sell that much.
So you're like, we have one lanyard for FC Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, true. I've never been in that store. Have you been?
Never been, but
you've given them a lot of business.
I have gotten them a ton of business.
So of the last of the major leagues, what about hockey? Because there's obviously the Anaheim Ducks, and they're very similar to baseball. Anaheim Ducks, Los Angeles Kings. Mm-hmm. What fandom do you see more?
One of the most impressive ones, and is probably the Ducks.
Yeah,
yeah. Like you wouldn't expect it, Southern California hockey. There's no ice here.
Yeah,
but somehow there's a ton of loyal fans that know every player on the roster, that is looking for new stuff all the time. It's very surprising how many Ducks fans we get in.
It's pretty nuts because it's crazy that the Angels haven't been able to grab that attention. There was a time, like, I personally am an Angels fan, but I was also a little kid when it was 2002, the, like, amazing run. I'm a big fan of Angels in the outfield. Like, it was, for my very specific age, like, born in 1991, it was, like, the perfect upswing to become Angels fan. And then after, it just free fell. Like, it's crazy. Mike Trout, I think, could walk into a bar, maybe not in Southern California, but, like, in any other part of the world, and people would be like, who's that guy? Yeah. Like, oh, that's a good-looking random guy. Yeah, like, nobody would know he's...
MLB commissioner was just talking about that the other day.
It's nuts.
It's crazy.
He's arguably the greatest baseball player of all time. Yeah. This is, like, a 100-year-old sport.
Yeah.
And he's arguably the greatest player of
all time. Oh, Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle. Like, they're just hand-in-hand the same guy.
It's insane. And I think at this point, like... Would you agree if I said Bryce Harper is probably the most recognizable baseball player?
If you just took a picture of him and threw it in people's faces, I would say so. Yeah.
And would you put him top five?
All time?
No, in baseball. Like right now in baseball.
Are you talking about Mike Trout, top five? Most recognizable or Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper, top five skill-wise in the MLB right now. Like top five best player. Do you think he's top five?
The analytics don't really say so anymore. Two or three years ago, absolutely no doubt he's a $200-300 million player. Like he might still make the most money of all time.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but analytics, the switches, the shifting, all that—they're starting to really figure him out. So his average has dipped. He's falling towards the middle of the pack.
So let's say we put him at five.
Okay,
fair. We'll be conservative. Sure. We'll put it in an easy one, on the fence, very on the fence answer.
Okay,
like but this is the most recognizable face of the franchise, arguably.
Yeah,
like obviously we don't have the facts to back this, but
True. It's
just crazy. I worry about baseball a lot, but that's another topic for another day.
The analytics is starting to just kill it for fans.
Yeah,
it's
one of those things where it's like a lot of sports analytics helped it because there's in most sports, there's the team element, there's the chemistry element. So there's an offset to the analytics. Whereas in baseball, you're standing at the base and you're hitting it and they know percentages of where the ball is going to go.
Bottom line is everything averages out.
Yeah.
So
very true.
You'll see something spectacular here and there. But again, once you look at the bulk of everything, it's what you expected. So it's just kind of hurting it.
Yeah. So what would you put, going back to the sports thing, because I think we just depressed all 3,000 baseball fans listening.
I'm sorry, baseball.
If the baseball gods are listening, we apologize. So what would you say the top three overall of all sports leagues and all that in terms of sales for sports treasures?
Team-wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any team, any league. And I guess we can make LeBron a team, too.
I think he deserves it. I would say Lakers. It actually will end up being the local teams just because, just numbers.
Yeah.
Like averaging out. Lakers, Dodgers, but again, it has to be in season. I would say the most consistent year round is football. So I'll get a random Dallas Cowboy fan buying all my stuff in July, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll throw Cowboys in there because we have like four shelves of it. So,
yeah, I remember there was like, because the way it's set up is there's, I want to say four racks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, four racks of T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Most teams maybe, and then like they're folded up different sizes and stuff in different slots.
Alphabetically.
Most teams have maybe two,
stacks,
maybe three stacks.
Tops, yeah.
I think the Cowboys have what, like seven, eight stacks?
They have four rows.
Just straight up the rows.
Yeah, so
forget the stacks, we're
Jerry
going rows.
Jones, man, he wants to sell it to you.
Yeah, and, hey, he does
America's
a fantastic
team,
job.
America's team, you know, they want to live up to that.
I'm doing air quotes. I gotta say, I don't follow football that much.
Right.
Every time someone like gets hit and stays on the floor, I just like cringe inside.
Oh,
so.
That's what I live for.
Stay on the ground. But let's give you a break. Is this your first time on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, you sound like it's your 100th.
Well,
but
thank you.
let's play some music.
Sure.
Talk shop a little bit and then get back into talking a little Lakers.
Cool. Sounds
All
good.
All right. See you in a little bit, everyone.
You're back. It may cause concern. It's
boring.
Why don't you listen and learn?
Love takes happiness.
That once was strong,
but due to society,
even that's turned wrong.
Times have changed.
Hey, it's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy.
Have you forgotten
who put you on this earth, huh?
Who put you on proud?
And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child.
Bad company.
Hey, now you've been framed.
Your parents are hurted
and ashamed
for ruining yourself.
And your mommy can't cope. Hey, little kids, don't follow these dopes.
As a rule from a non-fool,
your life don't drool. Don't be a fool like those that don't go to school.
Get ahead
and accomplish things. You'll see the wonder and the joy life brings.
Don't admire these.
Hey, they don't admire you. Their time's limited, hard rocks too. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, cause dreams come true.
And you'll make your mommy
so proud of you too.
And this is the message
that the ruler, you know, Rick threw, you know, and it's true.
You know what? We like to party, to party. You know what? You know
hey,
what?
You look fly.
You don't have another.
Oh my, you've been fighting again and you forgot why. Hey kid, walk straight, master your high.
Why?
Because you make your family cry. And all jokes aside, are you in good health?
Hey little boy,
now have you really checked yourself? You're a disgust, you know someone that I can trust,
you'd
dude.
Steal Ma's welfare.
And you'd run and buy some dust and
plus, I must say,
big shot, you're not. Your friends are talking and I'm hearing that your girls are what? You didn't know? Go steal and rob.
And while you're at
go get a suit for a job. You see, you're acting like this urge is demanding.
Come on, wake up.
Have some understanding. Society's a weak excuse for a man.
It's time for the righteous.
Now it's time to take the stand. Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He
guides you.
And he watched you as you grew. Plus,
past the age of
a little child, that's true. But folks your age don't act like you do. So
be mature.
And put the boy to a halt.
And if you're over 18,
I wish you'd act like an adult.
Don't live in a world
of hate, hate, hate.
Pull yourself together
and get yourself straight.
Men don't steal.
Hey, most don't borrow.
And if you smoke crack,
your kids will smoke crack tomorrow.
So be more mature.
And kids, do your chores.
Make your own money.
Hey, be proud, that's yours.
You know why? Cause that's a man.
That's brains, no spite.
Staying out of trouble
when it comes in sight.
And a man never loses a fight
in God's sight, cause righteous laws are overdue. And this is a message that the ruler,
you know,
Rick threw, and it's true.
You know what?
Getting cake, yeah, it's no debate. Yeah, I fornicate with foreign hoes that I date like every day. Hey, yeah, I rock the rap. Yeah, I bought the Wraith. Yeah, I'm out of state. Yeah, I like the race. Yeah, I wake up late. Yeah, I'm out of shape. Yeah, I'm eating crepes. Yeah, I'm sipping wine. Yeah, she feed me grapes. Hey, she make no mistakes. Me make no complaints. I love how she thinks she graduated with that brain. She go to
Lamborghini high. Lambo by the crib. This is how it is. Yeah, these niggas say, no, we can't relate. Lamborghini high. Lambo by the crib. This is how it is. This is how we live. Bitches, 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 bitches. Lamborghini high. Lambo by the crib. This is how it is. Yeah, these niggas say, no, we can't relate. You know it. Lamborghini high. Lambo by the crib. This is how it is. This is how we live. Bitches, 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 bitches.
Two on my waist. Chains on my face. Money in the bank. Make no mistake. Nas does it great. Wanna fuck, car parked out front, 745 on the fucking dive, yo bitch down the ride,
you know it.
Leave it with me, cause I'm a G, made in the street, bread for the street, so I keep a peace, niggas try to front, act if you want, act like you tough, end up in the box, land on the side,
smash,
yeah, Lamborghini high, Lambo by the crib, this is how it is, yeah, these niggas fake, no, we can't relate.
Told me, save that money. Bank accounts that spend that bread. Cash out on your necklaces. 14 karat bracelet. Double devil with the lean. High tech with the cream. Soda as I whip the YOLO. Lambo red, Coca Cola. My bros, Costa Nostra. Riding on a speedboat. You sucking, licking deep throat. Ray Mysterio. When I'm jumping off the tightrope. Banana clip with the scope. Wearing all white like I'm the motherfucking boat. I'm on a Lamborghini high, glide through the sky, hell. Yeah, me vision got us rich, catch a nigga flying by the Lambo. Tipping the Henny got me gone, now I'm getting in my zone, hell. RP to my nigga, the gallon going to my dome, hell. This how I feel to be rich, fucking bitches in the mix, yeah. Where the Dickies is at, yeah, McGinny with the shits, yeah. Little new part lit, young love with the shits, yeah. I ain't with the game, bitch, she blow my cartridge, yeah. My dude, listen, why I'm always chilly, can't believe a nigga made a couple milli. About to cut the house way up in the hilly with a bad bitch in the Bentley. Wood grain with the roof gone, make a bitch fold like a futon. Getting bread like a crouton, tell me what the fuck is you want.
Lamborghini hot. How it is, yeah, these niggas fake, no, we can't relate,
you know it.
Lamborghini high, Lambo by the crib, this is how it is, this is how we live.
And we're back. So I asked you before the show to kind of pick some of your favorite songs. For anyone who's been listening to the show a lot, I think that was a little different than what they usually
well,
hear.
It might be a little more
might be a little different from ABBA and Hall & Oates and the Backstreet Boys. So why those two songs? What was? Because I basically when we talked about this, I just said songs you've been listening to lately. What has got you on these songs? Are they like newer songs, older songs that you just refound?
I try to find some new songs, but I always stick to the the classics and all that. And it's always about the vibe. I'm always trying to have a good vibe, mellow vibe. You may want some of
these songs I would not classify as mellow, I gotta say.
I guess how you chill. Depends on how you like to chill.
It depends how hard you are.
Maybe. I'd say it's just more sit back and chill vibe.
Like, I feel that.
Hey, Young World. No, that's just like kick your feet up and kind of listen to the
play
melody.
Some video games, hit a joint.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the life.
The life. So we were gonna talk about this in the starting segment, but then we went on like 18 different tangents. Got now it. we're reeled back in. Let's talk. So literally, because my shows are always Tuesdays 10 to 11. Uh-huh. Literally, like 4 hours after my last show at like 3 a.m. or whatever time it was. Uh-huh. Kawhi Leonard gets traded to the Toronto Raptors. And a part of me wants to think they did that on purpose. Like, Pop was just like, you know what? F all you guys. I'm doing a
Especially the Pasha guy.
Yeah. He waited for my show to end.
Then break the news.
He is one of the five listeners to the show. Greg Popovich just listens to every piece of media he can get.
So much spite in his heart.
Hey, to be fair, I think I do have the Tuesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time slot wrapped up for NBA analysis. I don't know who else is doing live NBA analysis right now.
I think you're just dominating
just dominating this time slot so hard. But so basically the trade ended up being Kawhi Leonard and Jakob Poeltl. Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green.
Yeah.
To Toronto for Jakob Poeltl, DeMar DeRozan, and a top 20 protected first round pick.
Right, yeah.
When you saw it, what was your initial reaction?
Initial reaction was the Raptors effed up.
Interesting.
That
okay.
was just my gut right away feeling because, you know, every rumor in the book is Kawhi's not staying.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe that changes.
As you
take on that challenge, that's a challenge.
As you've kind of let it marinate and you've thought about it, you've read more things, do you still have that thought that San Antonio won the trade and Toronto made too crazy of a risk?
Based on what else they could have gotten, I think they did okay.
San Antonio. Okay.
San Antonio did okay. Toronto still worries me because... Man, you could this time next year, you could be empty-handed.
Very true.
And you could be looking back at this time as like, what a regretful moment that was. But hey, you could be in the NBA Finals next April. So it's a lot of risk, lot of reward. I don't usually, when I bet, I don't bet on that risky.
Yeah. Like your star player who's been with you for so long.
I want to bet on something that I'm pretty confident I'm going to win. You know, I'm going to win the overall bet.
Like when we had a bet of how many phone numbers we can get from customers and you just destroyed me.
I just slayed you.
And I got three, actual numbers, but like...
Yeah.
3-5-1, and then that was it. Yeah, there we go. I got three digits. I did not get the other four.
You got the area code.
You got the, and even that I guessed for the most part. It's 94914, whatever else. But I think in terms of, so when I had a very similar thought to you at first. Like,
did you?
I'll be honest, Paul George kind of jaded me in terms of I'm not as confident anymore that Kawhi Leonard is just going to come to the Lakers because he wanted to.
Fair.
So I was worried about, if he gets traded to Boston.
Maybe Clippers.
Yeah, this is true. Clippers. They're in it.
Clipper but, shout out.
But all five Clipper fans in the world
are just
so excited. But, oh, man, I totally forgot my train of thought. We were talking. Kawhi. No, it's totally fine. Oh, yeah. So my first thought was...
no guarantee.
It's no guarantee, but if Kawhi went to Boston or if Kawhi went to Philly, I would have been really scared. Then he got traded to Toronto, and my initial thought was, nice. He went to Toronto. Like, right. He's probably leaving there in a year.
Right.
Now that I think about it, at least from Masai Ujiri's standpoint, the GM of the Raptors,
right.
He's a good GM. I think he's object. Like, a lot of people, a lot of, like, journalists and stuff who talk to him one-on-one, a lot of coaches who've talked to him one-on-one, everyone says great, personable guy. I've never spoken to him, so I can only go off of what they say.
Yeah, fair.
And I think for him, he just wanted... He knew that the team built around Lowry and DeRozan was not going to make it.
Yeah.
And he had to break it up. And I think... He is okay with if Kawhi leaves because it got DeRozan off of the books in a way that Toronto fans won't kill him for.
True.
Because I don't think if the goal was to just trade DeMar DeRozan, not to get Kawhi, but just to trade DeMar DeRozan, I don't know what he could have gotten.
Yeah.
And I think at least in this deal, if people are like, okay, that's a pretty fair trade. Kawhi Leonard's hella good. Okay, like it's risky, but like we get it.
Yeah.
And if he leaves, then Masai Ujiri just cleared a lot of cap off the books to kind of build his own team up again. And if he stays, then you're a genius, just like Sam Hinkie in Oklahoma City. So I get the risk on his side. And I kind of like what the Spurs did. Like, the Spurs, without Kawhi Leonard, were seventh place in... seventh place, right? Not eighth place?
I'm pretty sure seventh.
Seventh place?
They were not an eighth seed.
Without... a star. Yeah. And now you add DeMar DeRozan and... LaMarcus Aldridge, I'll say, is a star.
He
but,
deserves
the
credit, yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, even though he gets a lot of shit for not shooting threes and all that, you talk to some players. Like, I remember Bill Simmons had a podcast with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, arguably the best offensive player in the NBA.
Pretty much, period, yeah.
I would say he is, but we'll say arguably just so we don't get added on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
But Bill Simmons asks Kevin Durant, if you could steal one thing from one player, what would it be? And Kevin Durant, like, paused. He thought about it, really, really thought about it. And he goes, DeMar DeRozan's footwork. Like, and there's, and it's not the first time, or sorry, it was the first time, but it wasn't the last time I had heard on a podcast about his footwork.
Right.
So a lot of other players respect the hell out of DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
But for some reason, in terms of like other fans, like it's weird when players have that respect, but the fans don't necessarily have that respect. So I think, and San Antonio has arguably the best shooting coach. There is, his name's Chip something, but he gets a lot of credit for, like, giving a lot of people a shot. He gets a lot of credit for helping Kawhi Leonard shooting because Kawhi, like, could not shoot for a while. So maybe it turns out to be a solid move for San Antonio. Yeah. You get Pop to be competitive for 2 years. So overall, for both sides, I thought it was pretty
mutually
fair.
Not that bad. Really.
And as a Laker fan, I was glad we didn't give up any of the young guns because I really want to see you. I think... out of the four, two of them will be stars. I don't know which two, though. So I didn't want to risk losing one of them.
Right, that's fair.
So you said earlier when you take bets, you do safe bets.
Yes.
Someone points a gun at you and says, every dollar you have to your name,
okay,
every single dollar you have to your name, you have to make this bet. Kawhi Leonard stays, Kawhi Leonard leaves. Which bet you taking?
He leaves.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. Am I confident? No, not really.
But you got a gun to your face.
I got a gun to my face. So I
don't know why I said gun to your face instead of gun to your head. Gun to your face is way more psycho.
Very stressful.
I feel like that would be a top stressful situation.
I'm going to go ahead and just make a decision.
Okay, so you're leaning towards he leaves.
I am.
But there's a part of you that thinks he might stay?
There's. It's fair to think that way. It's still a good roster. And they could still do things with the... They still have plenty of young guys. They still have Siakam and... Van Fleet and
OG Anunoby, I'm a big fan
of. OG,
They match up like surprisingly, I won't say well, but surprisingly not bad against the Warriors in terms
of
you have Kyle Lowry, who maybe not as good as he used to be on defense, but still a plus defender on Steph, which, I mean, how much are you guarding Steph anyways?
Yeah,
like, he's going to score no matter what.
Yeah.
All you can do is try to slow him down.
True.
You have Danny Green on Klay Thompson, which Danny Green, we were just talking about, apparently last year played with a strained groin the whole time. Like, what the F?
That's incredible. Yeah.
It's crazy that the Spurs just let that slide. But topic for another time. But he used to be a hella good defender.
Yeah.
Now I would say he's a plus defender, right. But with
the 3-and-D mentality.
Exactly. Right. And he's, I think he still has the juice in him to shout out USC, the juice.
That's right.
Wait, yeah. OJ was USC, yeah, right? OJ, okay, just want to make sure.
Probably shouldn't be shouting him out, but, you know.
Shout out the name.
Juice man.
Did you see the FX thing, People versus OJ?
I never watched any of that. I don't know why I never
did. No, I would recommend it, but there's a scene because David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends, plays Robert Kardashian.
Oh, right.
And there's just a thing of every time he says juice in the show, there's like a YouTube thing of like 4 minutes of just David Schwimmer saying juice, like juice, 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 but juice, 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 juice.
That's hilarious.
Highly recommend it. I don't know why we went on a juice chain. Oh, no, he's got the juice defensively. Like Danny Green juice. Matches could match up if healthy.
Shout out to Tupac.
Oh, man, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But Danny Green, I think, if healthy, and I think he could defend Klay Thompson, or at least you put him on him. Kawhi Leonard, if healthy. I know there's a lot of if healthies in this, but Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best defender in the league against the best arguably the best offensive player. It's a pretty good matchup.
It's a very good matchup.
Then who else you got? You got, or let's say KD's at the four. You put Kawhi on him, and then you put like OG Anunoby on Andre Iguodala if we're doing like defending the death lineup.
Right.
And then you have Serge Ibaka on Draymond Green, which, if anything, even if Serge Ibaka is not as good of a defender, he's still a strong, agile guy.
Absolutely.
Like the mix of strength and agility, even if the defensive prowess isn't there, it's still good against Draymond Green.
True.
So what I'm saying is, and they're a deep team, which Golden State most definitely is not.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll see if they can beat Philly and Boston on the way to a championship. I think it'll.
I mean, if they get that completed, like, sky's the limit for them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe not a 4-0 sweep. Like, maybe so not. It would be this year.
I mean, shooting gets cold. That's the one con of a bunch of shooters on one team.
It's got to happen 1 year. It's got to happen 1 year. Yeah. We keep saying this.
And then you add on, you know, exceptional defense, then you can produce a bad night from them.
Very
and
true.
That's when you just got to, you know, sink your teeth in and get it done.
And the one thing, I'll be honest, I don't want Kawhi on the Lakers.
You don't?
I've heard situations with his uncle. In terms of, like, there's a podcast I would recommend anyone listening right now to listen to. It's called Nerder, She Wrote. Mm-hmm. And it's with Tom Haberstroh, one of the, like, top NBA journalists.
Uh-huh.
And they speak with the beat writer for the San Antonio Spurs. And when I say beat writer, I mean San Antonio was his only beat. So he was in every practice, every post game, just around the team always.
Uh-huh.
And the stories this guy had about the uncle, like, just an example, the uncle, and I might have talked about this last show, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but apparently San Antonio like sent a car to pick up Kawhi Leonard, and the uncle's big thing was he didn't want his client, his nephew, to be controlled. He thought the Spurs were too controlling.
Interesting.
And he was like, no, we're not going this car. I'll get us a car. And the Spurs were like, there's a lot of traffic. We have a car ready for you right now. Like, why don't you come? And he's like, no, we'll get it ourselves. They get the car, end up having to go through traffic because there's like a march going on or whatever. Okay. And Kawhi has to end up walking to the place. So I know it's anecdotal, and I think Zach Lowe from the Low Post, he also interviews a San Antonio person about this whole situation.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there's just a lot of drama about it, and the one thing that's hovering above this all is nobody knows if Kawhi can play, like, right now.
Yeah.
In I terms know. Of not only physically, which is just this, like, random ailment that nobody knows what the F it is.
Right.
Mentally. He has been checked out through this whole process, has not tweeted anything, has not Instagrammed anything, has not spoken to anyone, and he's always been kind of a quiet guy, and his name is just in the thing nonstop.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's there mentally right now, so I'm my biggest hope, because I love Kawhi Leonard in terms of his game, my biggest hope is he could come back and play strong.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. I mean, to be afraid of his uncle is a little ironic, the fact that you have
with Lonzo Ball. Well, in terms of getting building. More people into this mix,
yeah,
you know?
I know that could be too much in the pot.
Do you, as a Clipper fan,
uh-huh.
you're open to the idea of him Uncle and all, crazy stories and all.
Uncle and all, I mean, God, you had, how many years has he been in the league? About
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, about
seven. I think he's 26 right now. I think he was a four-year guy.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I think a sophomore. So I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So I'm looking. Oh, no. Lost my mic. Looking up his basketball reference right now. And he has been in the league. Seven. You were right.
Seven
right, seasons.
Nice.
Wow. Ding, ding, right ding. Off the top of the head, you dork.
All right. So my point I was going to get to was you had 6 years of complete silence and nothing but good out of the guy. It's just his, you know, this last 6 months to a year has been hectic.
It's pretty crazy because he had the mentality.
The reputation has just completely changed. But the reputation for 6 years was, you know, stand-up guy, quality person, teammate, all of that put together. So I usually go for body of work overall versus the last 6 months. You know, that's how I look at baseball players. God, you know, one guy has one nice year, but he's had six bad years. It's like, dude, of course it's like you take the bulk of the.
So could the vice versa be true and then Albert Pujols might come back and be great again?
Father Time is also undefeated.
So many good years.
Father Time undefeated. He's the only guy that knocks out that theory.
You become the GM of the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
Would you trade the farm for him?
Would I trade the farm?
Is there anyone on the Clippers roster right now that you're like, anyone but this guy?
Well, first of all, the scenario is we cannot trade any of our first-round picks because we've already traded the picks. So there's a rule with you cannot trade first-round picks in consecutive years.
Consecutive years.
And there's also the issue of...
Well, you could do like a 2020 first-rounder or whatever. Like, you could do future first-rounders, just not the... But in terms of players, is there any player that if you were the GM, you're like, okay, I'll give up... Take the pick of the litter.
Yes.
Oh, you give up anyone.
There is pretty much nobody safe in my mind.
What about Marcin Gortat? You trade him?
Oh, Marcin. Oh.
Oh, man.
No, I would be happy with pretty much anyone going. There's no emotional ties to anybody. Tobias Harris is the most talented player on the roster, but he's also the most tradable one on the roster.
For sure.
And would probably be the most guaranteed one gone. I like the rookies we drafted. I'm not emotionally invested in their careers.
For sure. So in terms of if a superstar can come.
If a superstar can come, yeah.
Trade for him.
Sayonara. Like, I feel that's that. Fine.
And final like question of this whole saga.
Yeah.
One thing getting a lot of attention is DeMar DeRozan.
True.
Most points scored in the Raptors franchise history, spent his career there, nothing but love for the city.
Mm-hmm.
He gets traded.
Right.
And he is like heartbroken. You can tell it from the Instagrams, you can tell from his interviews, just absolutely heartbroken. Do you think the Toronto Raptors did DeMar dirty by trading him?
Sounds like the way they did it, yes. The whole explaining that, no, we're not trading you, to, hey, you just got traded.
Yeah.
Like, that's shady business. I mean, but business is business at the end of the day. I mean, I wouldn't want to have all this filled resentment for them, whatnot. I think number one thing is, he just has a little bit of regret in him because, you know, he just signed that extension. Was that a year? Maybe a year or two ago?
I think last offseason, yeah.
Yeah, so he had the freedom. You know, he just had that freedom to choose anywhere he wanted, and he chose Toronto.
Yeah, which not many people
exactly.
Do.
So,
and it's like the sense of unfinished
business.
He's an LA
guy. You know, I'm sure he was thinking Clippers, Lakers, and then Toronto and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's just so much... hindsight, that's just regret. Because he could have called a shot, and now he's stuck. And now he's stuck getting... He's on San Antonio. Would he have ever signed with San Antonio? Maybe, but probably not.
I mean, there are worse situations to get traded to, though.
It's
like,
it's a great situation.
It's a great organization, and stuff, even though they've kind of been... What's up?
Me, personally, I have Pop as the greatest coach of all time. That's just me. We don't have to, you know, go down that foxhole, but...
I'm thinking Kobe Bryant as player coach, but no, I'm just no. I would probably say Pop, greatest of all time as well. I was just messing with you.
The guy brought Boris Diaw from like France.
From the grave.
He was playing in Australia or something, and then they just call him up and he's on their championship team.
As a like role player. Like,
Patty Mills was playing in Australia as well, I believe, and God, Thiago Splitter made a career out of that guy.
Yeah, very true.
Like, the guy can just make, you know, rocks turn into diamonds. So I give that credit so much more than I give Phil Jackson credit. No offense, Laker fan. But
Laker fan. Put the figure.
But, you know, when you get handed Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, you get handed Kobe Bryant, that's, you know, you're just managing human beings, which is a challenge.
I wouldn't say Phil Jackson is, and we didn't have this written, but at this point, I don't think we're making it to our
probably
third
not.
Set.
Yeah,
but so this is the notepads. I'm throwing it to the ground. that was a great audio for that. But I think it is. I think Phil Jackson is definitely in my top five.
Fair.
Because of the fact that you see so many super teams forming and the fact that some coaches just don't have the gusto for it. Because there's the X's and O's of it, which is very important.
Absolutely.
But there's also the mental aspect of it. And not even just mental, like, can I talk to you one-on-one as a coach? Mental of keeping guys in the right mental health.
True.
And a lot of times people, the way I use mental health is just anything, like just mental health. Like,
right.
If I talk about my own mental health or if I talk about your mental health, I think the problem is a lot of people think that means you have something wrong. Like, you have depression or you have, not to say something wrong, but there's a mental condition, depression, bipolar.
Right.
Exactly. But I'm just talking about mental health, period, of like any person, no diagnosed anything.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson did a great job of keeping people, at least for the first few years before Kobe and Shaq just exploded. But just like managing that situation. Whereas
managing personalities.
You look at when Mike Brown had Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, and Pau Gasol on his team. And that did not work. And like when Shaq and D-Wade got together that first year, Stan Van Gundy was kicked out and Pat Riley was like, listen, we need a big baller brand in here.
Right, we need to take this place over.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's hard to deal with personalities like Shaq's. I mean, you see Shaq on TNT all the time. He is probably not the easiest guy to, you know, get along with 165 days out of the year.
I think what the problem with him was, and I wouldn't even say this is a problem, but the situation with him is so, not all of it, but so much of it was God-given in terms of a 7-1 behemoth who could run like a gazelle, who was just agile, who could grab oops. Like, there was no stopping Shaquille. I remember watching a NBA Classics game where they're playing in 2001 against the Sixers in the championship. Dikembe Mutombo, one of the greatest defenders, goes to block him. And so Shaq's going up for a dunk. Dikembe Mutombo's hand is on the ball, and Shaq still goes up with a dunk, lifts Dikembe off of the ground, and finishes the dunk.
Goes like, through him, right.
But
he is easily the most physically dominating player of all time.
100% agree. But also one of the biggest personalities of all time.
True.
So I guess to run it all back, like, I think Phil Jackson's definitely up there. And I think managing personalities should be something that
it deserves credit.
Yeah, because Pop had to deal with that too, because Tony Parker was sleeping with all his teammates' wives left and right. Not all his teammates' wives, but do you remember the controversy with him and Brent Berry?
I did hear about that one.
Yeah, he was sending very salacious texts to his teammate's wife. Like, come on, man.
And then he scores Eva Longoria? What a dog.
And then he cheats on her with like 18 other women.
What a dog.
Oh my God. It's
just reeling him in with the French accent.
Did you ever watch Looney Tunes growing up, like with Pepe Le Pew?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Pepe Le Pew was the most, like, I was talking about this with another friend. Like, usually when you think of racism, you don't really think of it with, like, Western European countries.
No,
but,
never.
Like, Pepe Le Pew was such a, like, basically just saying all French people are like sex-crazed maniacs.
You just assume that's what French is.
Like, this guy would just grab people and kiss them all over and be like, oh, my darling.
Just sexual harassment everywhere.
And then you have someone like Tony Parker just rooting, just excel as, or what's it called? Like, just pushing that stereotype forward that French people are just. If anyone French is listening, I don't believe this. I'm just saying this is the stereotype that's being perpetuated.
You guys did great in the World Cup.
Thank God. Congratulations. That was one thing.
We are not insulting you.
Yeah, exactly. Congrats. Speaking of one final thought, have you noticed that Derrick Rose has been getting a lot of love lately?
Yeah, they're just showing a heck of love for him.
Like, did you see Griezmann? Like, he took a mic and he's like, I love Derrick Rose. And then
that one year, I think that was like 2008, just resonated with people.
I'll tell you, I have a cousin. I don't know. I think Griezmann's 25, but I have a cousin who is 16 right now, 17 right now. His favorite player all time is Derrick Rose.
Is that right?
And you look at Jabari Parker, who's like 23. Did you see his press conference when they were like, the guy asked a fair question, like, hey, he's had ups and downs in his thing,
right,
in his career, and he's like, I don't think there's been any downs. Like, just like even slightly mentioning that Derrick Rose has had a bump and Jabari was, so it's pretty crazy.
Derrick Rose is from Chicago as well, right?
Yeah. So like he was a Chicago guy, crazy. But like my 16-year-old cousin,
isn't that crazy?
But hey, I mean, he was good, man. He was for
like physical athleticism was like beyond Russell
for
Westbrook.
Someone who couldn't shoot that well.
No.
And whose court, he was good, but I don't think it was ever like, oh my God, he's such a good passer.
No, he's a score first.
He just fucking effing dominated. I know I can curse, but I try not to as much. But he just dominated. It was pretty good. But
just the athletic peak of him was pretty much, I've never seen it. And I don't think it actually exists.
It was almost,
because it was speed, strength, explosiveness.
He was like a less bulldozery Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, he was almost Russell Westbrook before Russell Westbrook, and then he got injured, and then Russell Westbrook kind of just came over. But if he never got hurt, him versus Russell Westbrook would be a battle that for the ages.
For the ages.
Yeah, my man, this has been literally so much fun. We got like 20% of what we wrote down onto the actual show. So
content left.
Come back another week, man. I'm sure. I know I would love it. I'm sure the listeners would love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, man.
And we are signing off. This is Pasha Zolfagari and
Jarrett Perez.
And this has been a very posh evening. Have a great night, everyone.